Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Good morning, everybody. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, listen.
What a game.
It's only taken about 25 years, but they look like they're ready.
Why throw slight?
I'm telling you the truth, man.
Why throw
slight? It's taken
them
a minute, but they look good. You don't think they look good? They look real.
Who is that?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, solid. I mean, they played on the road, trap game. They did their job. Got out of there with a W. What else you can complain about? You know, tell me that the head coach called the – I mean, bad clock management. Is that what we're getting ready to start?
Yeah.
Try to nitpick and find a reason to complain about it.
That's later in the show.
I mean,
they're the real deal, man.
To me, for so long, obviously, New England had a guy who won all those close games, right? But you look at what Dak did. 3rd and 20, what was it? To get him in field goal range, 25, and he was good for about 22 of those yards right there. They kicked the field goal. And then even in overtime, there was a 2nd and 9. He picks up the first down. Mm-hmm. Like, now Dallas, like the guy that the Patriots used to have, a guy like that, Dallas now has.
But Dak's been doing this since he entered the league, though.
Some version of it.
They just haven't been able to put wins together other than his rookie year. They haven't been able to compile these wins like this. They haven't been able to go on the road to a hostile environment like a New England, even though New England has a young quarterback, but they still got a coaching staff that, you know, for the most part, are going to coach these guys up to the best of their ability. But Dak Prescott is Dak Prescott. There's a reason he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, because he does this on a weekly basis.
It feels like it's just a juxtaposition of the different teams, right? When games will get close, those are games back in the day. The Patriots, they always won. And those were games back in the day that you felt like the Dallas Cowboys always lost, right? Now it's role reversed, and you have the Dallas Cowboys that you just felt when the game went to overtime, I was like, okay, I just feel like Dallas is going to win. I do.
I do, too.
I just felt like it. And then that last play to CeeDee Lamb, to CeeDee Lamb over the top, man, just the waving goodbye, like that just – like, that's the swag that Dallas has this year. It's just different.
Yeah, as long as the bottom doesn't fall out. I think a lot of people was expecting once New England got up and you started looking at it, you were thinking, okay, the Dallas, here we go again. This is what the Cowboys are built. And, you know, I figured that beginning of the week that they would go into it in a trap situation because you're the better team. You're going into Foxborough, which, you know, they're okay, but you're a much better team than them. You could fall asleep, and then early on, it felt like that. But then as time went by and you got late into the fourth quarter, you certainly could see that Dallas was probably, if they go into overtime, was going to come
this
out with
a win.
This
is what's crazy. See, I'm glad we're talking about this, the feeling that you get, right? Mm-hmm. When you see Patriots have a chance to go 3-3, and then Dallas would be 4-2, and that's kind of like the league, right, instead of 5-1 and 2-4. And when Mac Jones beat – he went right at Diggs, right after the interception, went right at him – long completion. That's when I didn't know. That's when I thought, wait a minute, what's going to happen here? Right? The way things work out, Dallas not going to go 5-1, and the Patriots are going to go 2-4. Much more likely 4-2, 3-3. They're at home. It's time. Belichick's got to find some wins. The way I say, Tomlin's got to find some wins for Dak to take over in that situation. The field, like putting him in field goal range, but also that pass in. Who was that to? I'm trying to remember. It may have also been CeeDee Lamb. I don't remember. The 2nd and 9 in overtime.
I'm not sure.
It was 2nd and 9 in overtime, and Dak had picked up a big chunk play. And those are the kind of plays that usually, you know, those are the kind of plays when you have a quarterback who can do that in those moments. Those are the kind of teams that win championships.
Yeah, that's why it's important. When you look at some of the other quarterbacks around the league that have struggled late in games where their teams wind up losing them because they're not able to do what Dak was able to do on 3rd and 25. 3rd and 25, you find CeeDee Lamb over the middle. Now all of a sudden there's a different situation. Now it's manageable. Do we go for it on 4th down? Do we kick the field goal? What do we do? And he put them in that situation by doing that. CeeDee Lamb climbed the ladder, went up and got the ball, and then they wind up going into overtime.
it just feels like two things that people have to get used to, that it just takes a minute to recalibrate your brain, is that, well, the first one doesn't. Dak is definitely in the MVP conversation. We talk a lot about Lamar Jackson. We'll talk about him today, Kyler Murray. But Dak is in that conversation. And then that this team is a legitimate contender to win the whole damn thing.
I mean, when we were talking about quarterbacks last week, Key, what was conspicuous to me is you said, here's a category of guys who are just different. Like, you had Lamar in his own category. I asked you about Kyler. You said, yeah, you could put him kind of with him there. And it was CeeDee Lamb. The second and nine was also to CeeDee Lamb. I mean, by the way, it helps to have an outstanding draft, you know, wide out at, you know, that you draft and pans out to be the guy you hope he's going to be. But you included Dak in a group with some other guys. I want to say you said Mahomes, Rodgers.
Yeah, he's in the top four, if you want to call it top four quarterbacks in the league. He's in that Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady category. The only thing, the difference with those guys is they got Super Bowl rings, but he's young in his career. Rodgers got a Super Bowl early in his career, early as a starter in his career. Patrick Mahomes early, Brady early. Now it's time for Dak Prescott to get one early.
That's what I'm saying. It just feels like, I hate to say this, Jay, as a Giants fan, that's a whole other story, but it does feel like the franchise is overdue and Dak is the guy. And I had this feeling watching Dak, like, preseason of his rookie year. You know, you want to hesitate when you're like, oh, there's something about that guy. But there was. He had the arm, he had the legs, but also there was something about him.
Well, right, people wasn't going to give him his due, though, early in his career, because the first thing people would say is, oh, he can't win. Oh, he's struggling to win. They always, when you have success early, people try to find the next negative to continue to push that narrative. He's young. People don't win in their first – very rarely do you see guys win in their first couple years.
Like, perfect situation for them to do it.
It just doesn't happen. All of a sudden, Justin Herbert looks different yesterday than he did, you know, for the last 5 weeks.
He reminded me from the beginning, the two guys I always compared Dak to was Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. But different styles, but the same kind of guy. Good in the beginning, and then people start to think of him differently, and then he lives up to it and develops into a guy who can carry a team. But the difference is Russell Wilson has Pete Carroll and Tom Brady has Bill Belichick. And at this moment, Dak Prescott, he had Jason Garrett. Now he has Mike McCarthy.
Which is an upgrade. The dude did win a Super Bowl as a head coach. He's gone to multiple championship games and playoff appearances. It got bad in the end. Most coaches' situations get bad sometimes in the end. But then they find themselves with time coming out of it. John Harbaugh, Jay, was on the hot seat 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then he found Lamar Jackson. Okay? And he now all of a sudden.
What about the rest is history?
Pete Carroll can't win in Seattle right now to save his life.
What about some of the decisions McCarthy made yesterday, by the way? What about that? You're saying it's an upgrade over Jason Garrett, and that may be. He went for it on fourth down in his own 34 versus a rookie quarterback in the first quarter. He gave Mac Jones and a young quarterback hope early, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, and there was clock management at the end where he calls a timeout. He calls a timeout and then kicks the field goal. If you're going to kick the field goal, why leave the time on the clock?
Well, you got the time on the clock because it's only 20 seconds, right?
24 seconds.
24 seconds. Now I need to regroup. Timeout. What are we going to do? Come here. Let's cuddle up. Let's get over here. What do we want to do? We want to go for it? Do we want to kick the field goal? How do you feel, Zerline? What are you thinking? What are you thinking, coach? What do you think we should do,
Dak? In other
words,
he didn't know he was going to go for the field goal when he called the timeout.
You don't necessarily know because you want to see where the ball is going to land. All of a sudden, it's 3rd and 25. You pick it up, and now you got four more downs to go. So your decisions is different. Now we don't pick it up. Timeout. Let's figure out what it is that we need to do. Do we want to make – because if I go for it and I don't make it, they're going to kill me. And if I miss the field goal, they're going to kill me. So let's just figure it out.
What about the fact he tries a 51-yarder, a field goal on 4th and 2, right, at the New England 33? He doesn't go for it. So you're asking your
different
field goal kicker –
different time of the game.
But a 51-yard field goal versus the guy you were talking about, Dak, to pick up 2 yards.
Yeah, but a different time of the game, though. So you have a pulse of your team, and you know exactly what y'all want to do based on the feel of your team. One situation in the first half is different than the situation in the second half late in the game. They're not the same. I want to go. I want to try a field goal in this situation. I want to go for it in this situation, or I don't. It just all depends on where it is. It's like in baseball. You hear people, Jay, in baseball, oh, that run's going to come back to hunt them early in the game. But then when you get to the ninth inning and that team that got the run is on the L side of it, you never hear the announcer come back to anything about that run he talked about in the first half, in the first couple innings. You never hear about it.
It can be true, though, that this team, because of their talent, they win despite some coaching errors down the stretch. Like, that can be true. And
two things
can be true at the same time.
Diggs had a big play that helped him out there.
And you're sitting here talking about a lot about McCarthy, but you know, Kellen Moore is designing some incredible plays offensively. I heard Dak Prescott talk about Kellen Moore after the game. I didn't hear him make mention of Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, the media and fans are second-guessed so often that head coaches are afraid of the negative outcome. There's no doubt. The NFL's lone unbeaten team was without their coach and their best defensive player, and it was not an issue as they moved to 6-0. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
On the Dr. Pepper call-in line, we're asking, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, is Lamar Jackson the best player in the NFL? Emphasis on player in the NFL overall. But, you know, pretty soon, we're going to have to ask the question, is Arizona the best team in football? And you know, no one seems to want them to be the best team in football. All they do is win. What's so funny?
Just because you said best team in football, Keith said, ah.
Right. And no one wants them to be the best team in football, but they beat the brakes off the Rams.
Who's no one?
At L.A.
Who's no one?
But look, heading into the season, they were picked to finish fourth in the division. They're not. They don't lead shows and stuff like that, even when they win. And again, the Rams are really good. It was a no contest at L.A. See, that's what I mean, though.
That's Keely. Cool. They're a good team. There's no question about it. They putting in work. They doing everything. They're running the ball well. Kyler Murray is just, I mean, he's doing what he needs to do. They win every single week. I mean, there's really nothing you could complain about with him, I mean, or them, per se. But I think, you know, it's the type of team that I need to see a little bit more, right? Every week it's going to be show me, show me, show me, show me, because we are all kind of waiting for the bottom to fall out just based on the history of Arizona and the history in which the style in which they play. That's all.
It just feels like, speaking about volumes of a team, you go to Cleveland, right? Cleveland coming off a loss. You think Cleveland's going to bounce back in this game, even though Cleveland's depleted by injuries.
See, there you go, though, Jay, right?
Okay. Yeah, but still, Cliff Kingsbury, no long, coach there not there, COVID out, right? Other coaches on the staff out, Chandler Jones, COVID out, can't play. A lot of questions. Like, it feels like that game is set up. Cleveland is favored in that game. Like, you just feel like Cleveland, that's the game they're going to win. And for them to come out, start off the game 20-0.
It was no contest. Like,
wow.
What's the record of coaches, head coaches that's missing due to COVID? Feel like they're undefeated.
That's a good question.
Right? It feels like it's undefeated.
This season or since
just
COVID?
Just in general. Yeah.
I don't know. We have
because
to look
Cleveland
that up.
Cleveland won when Stefanski was gone. Arizona just won. It feels like somebody.
I mean, the Raiders won. That wasn't COVID, but. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't COVID, but yeah, it just feels like every head coach that's missing it, their teams are winning.
But it's a good look. Chandler Jones had six sacks the week one, 5-6 sacks week one. Don't have him. Don't have the coach. Kyler Murray looks like he's playing with, like, whenever you see a player get to the level Kyler Murray's playing on right now, like someone's using Mike Vick back in the day in Madden, right? Like someone, it's as though some awesome player in Madden has some incredible player, and there's nothing you can do. Kyler Murray looks like he's playing with the NFL. It's crazy.
Well, that's because it has slowed down for him. The game has slowed down tremendously. You could tell he's out there in the pocket playing with confidence. He's not in a panic situation. He's poised. He's just slicing and dicing.
No doubt.
And then obviously it feels like Cleveland's in trouble.
Sure,
like Cleveland
does.
Is legitimately in trouble. Kareem Hunt out. Obviously Nick Chubb was out before this game even started. Kareem Hunt got hurt late in the game. Baker Mayfield, that shoulder injury, once again, was doing a press conference in the sling. He just feel like the bottom's falling out for Cleveland.
And Odell and Baker not on the same page.
They look better yesterday.
By the way, maybe this is the simplest explanation, because this is what happened to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? Like, no contest. If you're missing both your starting offensive tackles, that might just be what it comes down to. The game was a no contest. Anyway, the Browns now have Baker Mayfield's arm in a sling. And it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Baker Mayfield at the post-game presser on his shoulder injury.
First off, how are you feeling with your arm's in a sling? How bad is it?
Feels like
worse than the first time?
Probably. You know what? I got MRIs and stuff tomorrow, so we'll be able to find out more.
In a sense, if you'll be able to keep playing through this, Baker?
I do.
You will be able to keep playing through?
Yes.
Is it, I mean, maybe you don't know yet, but is it the same, like a re-aggravation of the injury? Is it something new?
I mean, it dislocated again and then slipped out again on a non-contact play, so just got to figure out a way to get better.
Yeah, your quarterback, it certainly, there's, you know, the injury is affecting his ability to deliver the football, and maybe he's out there thinking a little bit too much at times when he's missing wide-open targets, and They've got to figure out how to get him healthy. He's got to figure out how to continue to just keep fighting through the little bit of adversity he's got, because the Browns are still in it, although the Ravens are starting to pull away, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, for whatever reason, we are not going to be able to count them out. You all had Ben Roethlisberger buried with dirt on him, and he continues to just keep coming out of the grave, grabbing one win every week.
I think that's more about
you all.
I think that's more about Tomlin than anybody. As I said, Tomlin will find wins in that schedule. Cincinnati, because they now have Burrow and Chase, they are winning. And the AFC North is going to be very tough. And the Browns look like they had the best team on paper to start the season. But on paper now, Jay, you said both their running backs, both their offensive tackles.
Landry.
Well, look at Nick Chubb back.
The quarterback.
That'd be helpful for
QBs,
them. Oh, by the way, I mean, that with the exception of the Hail Mary pass before the half that got Donovan Peoples-Jones, like that it should have been 37-7.
That's one
30-point loss.
I need
at
to
home.
Know before we go to break. Donovan Peoples-Jones, he looks like the real deal to me.
Knock it down. You're defending,
knock it down. Exactly. Why go for it?
Knock the ball down. Knock it down.
A 30-point loss at home.
Where was he taken in the draft, Peoples-Jones?
Late.
That's a nice pickup.
I think he was a return guy, right? As a receiver. He was just late. Michigan didn't use him correctly. It was just Harbaugh and that crew did a good job.
You picked that dude up late. You're sitting pretty right now.
But he was always a top. He was always a top prospect coming out of, I think it's something Tech in Detroit. He went to like Tech something in Detroit.
That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. The Browns play Denver on Thursday night. On top of everything else, they got a short week. Not much time to get your banged-up quarterback ready. What is wrong with Patrick Mahomes? That's what Keyshawn Johnson wants to know. There's so much wrong with Patrick Mahomes. Isn't it? That's something you might have said if you only saw the first half of the game.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's time for No Huddle. You heard it on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Let's get right into it. Patrick Mahomes threw two interceptions in the first half, including one really, like, weirdly bad one at the end of the half with the Chiefs in field goal range. But Mahomes bounced back in the second with two second-half touchdown passes and led another touchdown drive. So what gave him the confidence to keep pushing the ball? I don't know, maybe being the most talented athlete who ever lived. Here's what Patrick Mahomes said after the game.
I think the biggest thing was the guys kept believing in me. I think that was a big thing to me. I mean, Orlando, Travis, Tyreek, all those guys came right up to me, and they're like, you keep being you. Like, we know you're competing. We know who you are. Don't let that one thing affect how you play. And you saw it in the second half. I kept doing stuff, kept throwing across my body and doing all that different type of stuff because I know those guys believe in me, and I'm going to keep being that and keep fighting to the end.
And that's what Patrick Mahomes has to do. He has to continue to just keep playing and doing the things that got him to be the MVP, got him Super Bowl appearances and championships. Don't allow something that went wrong in the first half affect you throughout the course of the game. Short-term memory, he certainly had it yesterday.
After all this talk about Kansas City, and I mean, what does that say about Washington's defense? We'll get into that discussion a little bit later, giving up multiple games of 30-plus points. But Kansas City sitting at 3-3. All the talk, write them off. They're done. 3-3. Just saying.
Just keep in mind about Patrick Mahomes. He was always a mix of not just Rodgers, but Brett Favre. He was the gunslinger who didn't turn the ball over, but he still got that gunslinger in him. I mean, like, that's part of who he is. All right. With the Jaguars winning in London, the Lions have the longest, at this moment, active losing streak in the NFL. Detroit lost 34-11 to the Bengals for their 10th straight loss dating back to last season. At least they have all those playoff wins in the last 60. Oh, wait, no, they don't have that either.
Wow.
Now head coach Dan Campbell is challenging quarterback Jared Goff. Guys, does this sound familiar? Listen to Coach.
I will say this. I don't feel like we can accurately judge him one way or another. I don't feel that way yet. Now, I will say this. I feel like he needs to step up more than he has. And I think he needs to help us, you know, just like everybody else. And I think he's gonna need to put a little bit of weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up, make some throws, and do some things. But he needs help. He needs help.
Not bad observation by his coach. I think that that's the same thing that Sean McVay out in L.A. saw in Jared Goff, is that it's not all on him, but he certainly is a quarterback, and when you're the quarterback of a football team, it falls on your shoulders, and he's got to be the guy that helped carry the Detroit Lions to a victory, and that hasn't happened thus far.
It's just crazy when you're watching that game and you have an understanding of everything that happened between Jared Goff and Sean McVay and the reason why he got to Detroit in the first place. And I'm sitting there, Max, and I'm watching Joe Burrow, and I'm saying, this is why you want Joe Burrow. This is why you don't want Jared Goff.
Guys, to me, this is alarm bells. Dude was the number one overall pick, went to 2 Pro Bowls, went to a Super Bowl. McVay was making him look better than he really was, it seems to me. Now he's on his second stop, and for the second time, a coach is like, dude, you got to start playing better. Like, after this, there's no more starting job right away for Jared Goff. He would have to earn it. He goes from franchise number one overall to he's a backup somewhere. I mean, to me, that's a big deal, coach saying that. All right, a guy who he has been on since before this season started. The Raiders capped an emotional week with a 34-24 victory over the Broncos. In the first game since John Gruden's resignation and their first game with Rich Bisaccia as interim head coach, the Raiders snapped a 2-game skid with a much-needed win. Here is Key's dude, Derek Carr.
There'll be a time for the emotions of all of that, but now is not the time. You know, we have time. If anything, what this did is brought us really – it for sure brought us closer with talking with the guys and meetings and all that kind of stuff. Proud of where we're at and glad for our organization to get a win. You know, we needed a win bad this week. You know, sometimes when you get punched in the gut, it's hard to bounce back, but we were able to do it. So we definitely needed it. We got one, and it definitely feels good.
Yeah, I'm happy for Rich Bisaccia, a former special teams coach, with me and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I felt all alone when once John Gruden was gone out of the locker room, they would rally and play the way that they play. You certainly seen guys step up and play much better. These sort of situations make you play loose. Instead of playing uptight and tense all the time, you can go out there and just ball out without having to worry about repercussions of some negative stuff going on your sideline. I think at the end of the day, they did exactly what I thought they would do, get a W.
Yeah, glad they could bounce back. But an opposite, and you're sitting there looking at the Broncos, and everybody was saying, oh, well, they're 3-0. And you're like, well, hold on a second. Those wins were against the Giants, the Jets, and the Jags. Now they've lost their last three. Not so much hype so much around the Denver Broncos anymore.
Meantime, I think there are two things here. One, Derek Carr, that's an easy situation to step in if you have a close relationship with the coach and they get in trouble like that. He managed to navigate that really well, said all the right things, and then went out and played really well. And Bisaccia, Key, I think you get a bounce if you lose a head coach who stepped in it like Gruden, a guy who has issues, obviously. If the team likes the new guy, everyone seems to like Bisaccia. I haven't heard anything bad
about everybody loves their special teams coaches because that's who you deal with. Like I said last week, special team coaches deal with everybody. They don't have one unit that they deal with. They deal with the entire
team.
Not
like a clique.
No, yeah. They deal with the entire team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Raiders, that was a big win for them. And the most impressive performance of the day, Lamar Jackson set the NFL record for most wins under the age of 25. That means ever. Jackson led the Ravens to a 34-6 win over Justin Herbert and the Chargers for his 35th. That's the record, 35 wins under the age of 25. No quarterback under the age of 25 has won more than 30 games in the past two decades. Here is head coach John Harbaugh.
Oh, that's the biggest one. Have people heard of that one? I know they said they hadn't heard about all these records, but they had heard about that one, right? Yeah, that's the biggest one. That's the one that we're most – I promise that's the one Lamar's most proud of, and that's the one we're all most proud of, absolutely.
John, stay talking that it, boy. He'll let you know in a heartbeat. Love him as a coach. Look, Lamar Jackson has given this team every opportunity to succeed. He knows what he's doing at the quarterback position. I put him in a separate category. He's not a traditional quarterback in no sense of the imagination. He is just a baller flat out. I mean, it's – what else? I don't even know what a – like Coach said, there's all these different records and different things. He's going to eclipse many records along the way. Many.
So we sat there and we watched Cleveland lose yesterday, and everybody kept saying, well, you know, Kareem Hunt gets hurt late in the game, no Nick Chubb, two linemen out. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, well – that's where Baker has to go next level. Because I watched Lamar Jackson play with a depleted roster and go next level and carry his team to an incredible space. Like Lamar Jackson as of right now is the MVP. We also have to start thinking about John Harbaugh being the coach of the year in the league. We should start talking about that as well.
Nothing he does is traditional. Like it's so wild watching him throw the football. Nothing is over the top. Everything is to the side. It's like Friday Night Lights. It's like me watching high school football on a Friday night watching Lamar Jackson. I'm the best dude on the whole damn team. I'm going to get a scholarship. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
But I'm going to make y'all look even better than what you are.
High school football. When you go to a high school football game, there's the 22 guys that are on the field. And there's always just one guy that's better than just everybody. And all the scouts are there watching him. And that's exactly what Lamar
is. It's exactly what it is. I said like Kyler Murray. It's like someone playing with the best player in Madden who's just nice with his and no one could do anything. I'm reminded in 1996, no one really knew Mariano Rivera, right? He turned out to be the greatest relief pitcher ever, and he destroyed the Twins. And the manager, Tom Kelly, said he belongs in a higher league. I don't know what that league is, but that's Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson belongs, he's right, it looks like a man playing with boys. It looks like he's an adult and these are kids in high school. You should not be able to do that in the NFL. His team is banged up, Jay, like you mentioned, and they're winning. The time has come to ask, is he the best player in football? And let me be very –
you don't even need to go any further, Max. Who's better?
Okay, here was the knock, right, against Lamar.
No, but I mean, like, when you look at the league in just a snapshot of the league, who's better? Kyler Murray and him, you could have that conversation about the best player, because when you look on defense, I mean, who's better than them on defense? Nobody. And who's better than those two on offense? Nobody.
But the difference, okay, so here's what it comes
down
to.
Maybe Josh Allen, you could argue that.
Here's what it comes down to for me. Lamar wins the MVP. Oh, my God. But in his first playoff game, he was really bad, in the first half especially. Got better in the second half. He made improvements but wasn't there. Meantime, Mahomes was balling out in the playoffs. Then his next year, he doesn't win MVP, but he's much better in the playoffs, but they lose. Then last year, they won a playoff game. So now this year, I think what I'm waiting to see is, can they make a play? Can he do this, what he's doing in the regular season, in the playoffs? Can they don't have to win the whole thing, but can they make a run, win a couple of playoff games? If they do that, it's going to be hard to say he's not the best player in football.
I honestly think that they have a strong possibility and chance to be playing in SoFi Stadium in February, or is it late January, early February for the Super Bowl. I honestly think that. And yes, he can take the next step. Because things slow down. He's getting better and better at understanding the game in the National Football League. This is not his early years or the first couple years in the NFL. This is now his fourth year. From 1 to 4, you're a different player, period. You see things way different, even though it doesn't look sexy to our eyes, because what we're looking at, we like, stand in the pocket tall, deliver the football over your shoulder. That's not who he is. I mean, the moment that you think you got him, all of a sudden, Houdini-like abilities just take over.
And he's also making the best throws on the field consistently now. If you want to talk about a difference, he outthrew Patrick Mahomes. Like, if you just the eyeball test, he was the dude whose throws you were like, oh, my God. He outthrew Justin Herbert. He was the guy making those spectacular
throws.
Their
defense put a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert, too, though. I mean, so you have to give their defense a lot of credit in that one. Because, you know, their run game was actually going to be a weakness of going against the Chargers, but that defense went next level, kid.
I talked the other day. This was before this game. I talked to somebody at the Baltimore Ravens that I'm really close to, and we were just talking about the situation, receivers, and Lamar and whatnot. And he said, man, what you see in Lamar is everything you see every single day. Like, what you see in the games is the same way he is at practice. What you see as his post-press conference is the same way that he is in talking to the team. It's like, all of a sudden, this magical light, he was telling me, just turns on in the games, because they, as a staff, they just sit back sometimes and go, just let him do what he do. Don't get in the way.
By the way, I'll bring it up again. According to Sharp Analytics, Warren Sharp, football, right? He was the most accurate passer. Think about this carefully. At age 21, Lamar Jackson, statistically, was the most accurate passer in the history of the NFL. The most accurate in the history. That doesn't mean you wind up at age 27 the most accurate ever, but it's certainly a pretty good indicator that you can throw the ball.
But it looks different to the eye. Mm-hmm. And because it looks different, it's hard for those that evaluate quarterbacks to accept that he's doing it a different way. You know, it's like I've always taught you how to cook this cake a certain way. Mm. Now you come up with your own way of doing it, and it comes out the same. And you're like, well, wait a minute, man. You left eggshells in there. Well, it's still the same cake.
It didn't come out the same. It came out better. You're like, hold on. Yeah. It came out better with eggshells in it?
Jay, you know what I think that is, Key? You know what I think that is? Because technique is a means to an end, right? But for 99.999% of people, right, if you don't have that technique, you will not achieve the end you're looking for. There are rare exceptions where they can achieve the end with a technique that's not what what everyone else needs to kind of abide
but,
by.
But
right?
It's all – but in all sorts of sports, though, whether it's basketball, you know, oh, he can't shoot because he's not – his elbow's not
Lonzo
tucked
Ball.
In.
Lonzo Ball looks like
still making shots.
He can shoot the thing now, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying,
but he's still making shots.
But it's a broken looking shot, but it goes in.
It's broken. It looks funny, but it goes in. Or you talk about football, Lamar throwing sidearm. It's like, man, you're not supposed to do that. Well, it looks pretty damn good to me. Phillip Rivers did it for 100 years.
I am going to let you know that just because a Chicago Bull fan, his form isn't broken. His form is fixed.
Oh. Okay.
If you watch him shoot, it's fixed. And it's
not bringing it across his body anymore.
No, it's not across the body anymore. But it's interesting about Lamar. Like, people just say it looks – but it's not when you look at it, though, Key.
That's how he
it's
throws.
Not. It's crazy.
If they try to correct his delivery, Lamar Jackson will just be another guy.
Steph Curry, though.
Got to let him do
you
what
you
want
to correct that shot, right, because he doesn't hold his follow-through. It's a slingshot approach, which they teach you never to do, but yet he's one of the most prolific
shooters
you've ever
results.
Seen.
No.
Same thing.
Yeah, let's change it. Let's get him in there.
Let's see where that goes.
Yeah, let's see how that works out for him.
We're asking on the at Key J and Max Twitter feed, and also 888-729-3776, the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call-in line, is Lamar Jackson the best player in the NFL? Why or why not? College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Steve in D.C., you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Steve, you there?
Yeah.
What's good? Steve?
Dak Prescott is the best player in the NFL right now. No ifs, and buts about it.
You a Cowboys fan?
Cowboys fan, all the way.
Well, yeah, do you know what, man? I don't have an argument with that. The only problem that I would push back on is that he's working with more from an offensive skill position standpoint, and Lamar really isn't. Lamar has Andrews and really Andrews and really Andrews.
Yeah. Oh, why are you killing Hollywood Brown like that,
I'm
man?
I'm not killing Hollywood Brown. I'm just saying Andrews, Andrews, and Andrews. And then Hollywood Brown. That's a pecking order.
You know one
it's
thing about
Andrews,
that?
Andrews, and then Hollywood Brown.
But can you
he's
make,
working with less than Dak.
But so Dak gets used against Dak because he has more talent on his team?
Well, you say the best player. When you're carrying your offensive unit, like literally carrying the offensive unit, yes, it pushes Dak down.
Here's the thing about Dak, I'll say. Tom Brady early in his career never looked like the best player in football. He was the guy you wanted, but Peyton looked better. A lot of guys you would say at the time, or several guys you would say, really, if you go back and remember Tom Brady year 4 or 5, he wasn't considered basically the number one player. But over time, he showed that the number one player, it's not just about the stuff that jumps out at you. And Dak has some stuff that jumps out at you, but over time, maybe he proves the same thing.
It just feels like Lamar Jackson is, like, I hear you guys saying, I think he's the best player, but also, like, the number one cheat code. It's a cheat code in the NFL.
But if no
it's a cheat code that people can't figure out.
They can't That's figure it out.
It
makes you the best.
So different. I agree.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Dalton in Indiana, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Who's the best player in the NFL? Is it Lamar Jackson?
What I have to say there is what makes Trayvon Diggs from the Dallas Cowboys not the best player right now with what he's doing with that defense by himself, technically, with the depleted defense that they have. And if you take into order of what he's doing with the people that he has around him, he looks like the best player in the NFL to me.
No, I wouldn't give it to him. He certainly has been playing at a high clip, but I wouldn't say he's the best player in the NFL. Best player in the NFL is carrying that entire unit.
Well, listen.
Aaron Donald used to be the best player in the NFL because he carried the defense couldn't operate without Aaron Donald.
Diggs
at all,
Diggs is a difference maker, but it's hard to make that argument the day after he gets beat. Like, he gets the interception, and then Mac Jones picks on him like the next play.
That's the one play, though. I mean, don't discount the play he had before.
I think that was a miscommunication in the secondary, too. So, there's no question Diggs will be up for Defensive Player of the Year if he continues up this clip, for sure. But when you talk about carrying a unit, Aaron Rodgers carries a unit. Okay, you could argue Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray carries a unit. You can argue Kyler Murray is the best player in the league. But Lamar Jackson doesn't have a Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. He just doesn't have the stuff. But he's out there slicing and dicing, and his statistical numbers may not always be eye-popping. He may turn the ball over.
Yeah, they are. Wins.
Yeah, I was just about to say, all that matters is the W column.
They are eye-popping, the number of wins he got. By the way, Diggs is excellent. Boy. You know when he's going to go next level? I know turnover differential is big. When they stop throwing to his side of the field.
Yeah.
That's when he'll have, like,
yeah, they're
maximum
still challenging
value.
Him.
Yeah.
They're still challenging.
But key on the Lamar tip, he may turn the ball over because he has to do exponentially more.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, I can overcome
I'll take that.
As long as he doesn't turn it over at the wrong time.
On the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, 66% of people said, no, Lamar Jackson's not the best player in the NFL. By the way, that means a third of the people say he is, and that's against the entire field, right? That's against every other player in the NFL. A third of the people say it's Lamar Jackson. Shane says, so far this season, I would go with Brady. You can make an argument. Jim says Mahomes. By the way, Mahomes has an argument, too.
So he's on pace for, like, what, 48 touchdowns?
Yeah, I get what everybody is saying. I'm just of the belief that Lamar's doing more with less. Brady got a whole cupboard, man, and a pantry full. He ain't gonna never start.
Oh, that's like opposites. Brady's got everything he needs. Yeah. Lamar's got nothing. Yeah.
Stop, man.
Still Mahomes, year in and year out. He's right there. Even if you don't think he's won, he's right there. Last year's MVP still owns the Midwest. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.